Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. My name is Jacqueline Cormier, and I'm a graduate student at New Mexico State University. Thank you for being here, even though it's the last day. When you think of New Mexico, wine might not be the first thing you think of. In fact, if you're anything like me, before I moved to New Mexico, I was like, New Mexico, that's the place with the cactuses that look like this, right? No, that's actually Arizona. But so we have had grapes here since the 1600s. They were brought over with the Spanish mission. That's why we call them mission grapes. And despite that, not a whole lot has been done since then to talk about alternative ground covers. So currently, we have a great wine trail. You should come and visit us. We have over 40 wineries. Some of our wines are fantastic. As of the 2012 census, we have 516 farms growing grapes in New Mexico. So the goal of this study is to quantify some of these effects of our florid management practices over one season. So this is a pilot study. This is also an agroecology study, and what this means is our vineyard is not just a plot of ground that produces grapes. It is a complex web of various interactions between biotic and abiotic factors. Cover crops have been well documented for their benefits, especially in long-term sustainability towards things like soil health. They assist in things like water infiltration. And in New Mexico, where we are arid to semi-arid, this is very important because we get a lot of our rain all at once. We're currently having our seasonal monsoons right now, which is one more reason why I'm so happy to be here. They also can have specific crop benefits. For example, some of them, like the legumes, can capture that atmospheric nitrogen and put it back into the soil. Some of them can be used for biofumigation, things like your brassicas that can be plowed under. These specific crop benefits can really assist our local growers, but not a lot of research is being done, again, to tailor them specifically to New Mexico. Now, we do have some challenges that are unique to our arid and semi-arid environment, and the biggest one is water use. Our growers are largely limited to the amount of water that they can use. And what you're looking at here specifically is the south end of our Malpic plot with the hair barley that is growing. We did not plant that. That is actually a weed, or as we like to call it, spontaneous vegetation. And we are flood irrigating. So currently, for weed management, our New Mexico growers largely do what's called bare soil. To maintain bare soil as a standard practice, they use a lot of broad-spectrum herbicides in addition to often cultivating the surface of the soil. This is a very fast, very neat and tidy way to remove a lot of the weeds very quickly. It comes with its own challenges in our environment, the biggest one being erosion. We have very low soil organic matter in our arid soils, and we destroy the aggregation whenever the cultivation is happening. And without that plant matter to hold down the soil, we are very susceptible to both wind and water erosion when we have those monsoons. In addition to this, we can have problems with compaction. So this research did take place on the Fabian Garcia Research Center in Las Cruces, just a little ways from the campus. We are in southern New Mexico here. So this little red rectangle that you're seeing is specifically the Malbec plot that I will be talking about today. We do not get a lot of rain. We are a dry, arid environment, about 6 inches of annual precipitation. Our pH is high. We also often are dealing with saline soils. And typically, our arid soils have a very low organic matter, less than 1%. Specifically, we're also on a Glendale loam for this plot as well. Because this is an agroecology study, we were taking data from several different aspects of the vineyard. We did use a meter squared quadrat, and in April, when our vines were at 3 leaf, we did a weed survey where every single weed was counted and categorized inside of the quadrat. We also did an insect survey. These were done via sweeps using the standard size canvas sweep net. This was done in June when some of our cover crops were flowering. We also monitored the phenology, which is when grapes are reaching the specific stages at some very specific times. And we monitored the soil moistures weekly throughout the study. To measure our soil moisture, we were using the Delta T 100 centimeter probes. These were installed with access tubes in all 20 of our subplots in our alleyways. And this was measured once a week from four leaves just on. The challenge of this is that we also had to put them half in the west side and half in the east side to try and avoid any shading bias. And these probes do measure the volumetric soil moisture at different depths. We are working with a randomized complete block design for our vineyard. These colored rectangles represent the different cover crops. And we also have a bare control. We are on 1103 Paulson rootstock, and that is for the salt tolerance. They are cordon trained with vertical shoot positioning, which means that our shoots all face upwards. And we have these four replicated plots that were planted in 2011. So I want to point out that the cover crops are on both sides of our data rows, and that the gray rows, we are not taking data from them. They are guard rows. So overall, we have about 200 data vines. For our cover crops, we chose Balanza clover, buckwheat, a native grass mix, which includes many prairie grasses, and a flowering mix that has over 20 varieties, including annuals and perennials. They were maintained to 10 inches. The reason for this is that we wanted to make sure our flowering mix was tall enough to be producing flowers. We did end up using herbicide twice, but only in our vine rows, just to maintain that as bare ground. And we flood irrigated every 10 days and cultivated monthly in our bare plots. Those were our control plots. The Balanza clover and the buckwheat here are shown very small because they actually senesced very quickly after they germinated an established stand. What you're looking at here are the results of our insect survey and our weed survey. These were prepared, these means were prepared as percentages of the total amount that was collected. And our insect survey was done in June, again, when they were flowering. And what we're seeing here is, let's see if I can move the mouse. There we go. And what we're seeing is there's really a low diversity happening with our bare soil for our beneficials. These wasps, by the way, they are not like your standard paper wasps. These are going to be your parasitoid wasps. But then when we get down here in the bare soil, we're noticing that our pests, we are still having a large percentage of pests in the bare soil. The exception of that is the aphids. These aphids were all on the prickly lettuce, which was one of the weeds that specifically was in our cover crop, and so they were just on those weeds. And then when we looked at the weed survey done in April, we're noticing that we are getting some weeds. Having a hard time finding the mouse. We are getting some weeds in the bare plot that we're not getting in the insect mix and the grass mix. So it isn't so much that you are eradicating weeds by this bare method, so much as you are just shifting more towards a weed population that is favoring the disturbed ground or maybe needs the sunlight to germinate. These are the results of the soil moisture. Down in the bottom, these are P values that were prepared using R as a result of the pairwise T tests. And I'd like you to notice that in the corner here, these are different depths on the probes, and so it almost looks like it's upside down because the lower parts of the probe obviously have the highest amounts of the soil moisture. So we used the bare soil as the control, and our grass mix only had a significant difference. It was significantly higher in the 600 millimeters, and then it was significantly lower in the 1,000, so deeper here. And then when we looked over to our insect mix, it was not significantly different at the lowest, but it was significantly higher in our 600. And then the rest of them, being our upper part of the soil, was actually significantly lower than the bare ground. This is showing the dates at which the grapes were reaching those specific phenotypic stages. We did have the benefit of doing this the year before, prior to establishing our cover crops. And these stages generally overlap, and so what you are looking at is the first day that one of our 30 various test vines located throughout the plot would reach that one specific stage. So far, we have not seen a lot of difference, only a couple of days here and there, but the biggest change happening so far was in Verazin, which is the last one on the chart. So by the 5th of July last year, all 30 of our Malbecs had already reached Verazin. And Verazin is when the berries are changing color and they're starting to reach more an 8 to 10% brick. So they're starting to get those sugars accumulated. So at the 12th of July, when I made this chart, only two of them had actually reached Verazin. And when I left last week, only half of them had. So we're seeing an increase in vegetative growth that is very likely slowing down our Verazin. So some conclusions in future work. The buckwheat and Balanza clover were specifically unsuited to our vineyard cover in Las Cruces, and they will be replaced probably with a more native vegetation. Our flood irrigation is probably contributing to the increased vine vigor and possibly delaying our Verazin with things like shading. We've actually had to hedge twice just to be able to get into the vineyard. They're growing like kudzu, for those of you from Florida. So next year we're going to be putting in a lot of drip tape. Our insect mix did not have significance at the deepest levels. It had more at the 600, and the rest of it, it was actually significantly lower. The grass mix was only different at the 600 meter. And as observational data, we're noticing that the cover crops may be promoting more beneficial habitat for insects. And with the exception of aphids, the bare soil is still having a higher percentage of pest species. Our weed survey suggests the possibility that cover crops may be able to outcompete or discourage certain weeds, especially those that prefer disturbed ground. And more research is going to be necessary to measure other aspects possibly affected, for example, soil compaction. And in the future, we would also like to test and see how the berries themselves are actually being affected. I'd like to acknowledge all of my coworkers who could not be here with me today. These are my references. And if there's time, I will take questions now.
Questions? Are you going to measure how much you product or
yes.
the weed that you have? Because at the end, the more important is how much do you produce in dry matter in relation to mm-hmm. the water use?
Absolutely.
So we need to know how much do you produce, and if you increase the amount you produce, are you using more water? Because probably you transpirate more. So the question is, how you are going to look at those things sort of things in the future?
The question was, are we going to be measuring dry weights, I believe, of the weeds in the future? And the answer is yes. Of the, will we specifically be taking, in the next study, we will specifically be taking dry and wet weight of the weeds because, although I didn't talk about it, when we were doing those counts in the quadrat, the numbers are not necessarily representative of the mass. For example, one of those amaranth being grown in the bare plot was about as tall as me. So that is a fantastic question, and that is something we'll be doing next time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.